Welcome to the Gamers Inn. I'm your host, Ryan Murphy. This week, Jocelyn is off to the far lands of BlizzCon. And I'm joined this week by Bo, as we did last year, to pretty much predict everything perfectly. Is, I think, the plan. Is it not, Bo?
Indeed it is. That's why I visit the Gamers Inn. That and the fine mead and the fine company.
That's true.
And video games. But yes, we're gonna make some good predictions today.
Yeah, last year, people might remember we had Bo on, and we went a little long. As in, like, maybe almost 2 hours. And this year, we split it up into two segments and thrown away the whole, like, what are we going to talk about? What are we playing? Let's be honest, it's mostly Blizzard games because we're in BlizzCon mode, as we all are. So we're going to talk about safe bets, which is basically the easy stuff, announcements we know going in, also leaks, that kind of thing. But we're going to just kind of mosey on through that and head into the meat of the show, which is our long shot predictions, which is basically like a combination of what we'd like to see and also, as Bo put it before the show, the tinfoil segment, in which we wear hats made of things that should not be making hats with.
This is the segment I'm looking most forward to. Like tin foil.
You do. He does. It's true. He have you ever done
not just hats. It's also a great snack.
Tin foil?
Sure. Why not?
I would not eat tin foil. But I am curious, though. Have you ever done tin foil? Those who don't know, Bo from Core, the Frog Pants, Heroes of the Storm show, which you did some predictions on there as well. But also, Good, Bad, or Bullshit, in which have you ever done tinfoil as a topic?
You know what? We haven't, actually. I think that would count as an eligible topic for the random topic generator because it's hard to know whether or not that's good. Like, you know, some things are clearly, if everyone just feels some way about it and there's no real conversation to be had, but tinfoil, I think, has some depth. I think there's some unplumbed depth to tinfoil.
Well, you better add that to the random topic machine. You guys can check that out at goodbadbullshit.com. Is that it?
It's goodbadbull.com.
Goodbadbull. You didn't want to swear in the domain.
We sort of haven't decided whether we're a full sweary show or a non-sweary. We wanted to leave that open. So
yeah.
The censorship. You know, if you don't like swearing, we don't do it too much. We let the occasional F-bomb slip out, but
it happens.
You know.
It happens here too. And without further ado, like without further delay, without insert moving on topic here, let's talk about BlizzCon predictions.
BlizzCon.
What would BlizzCon be? Brisket convention, probably.
Yeah, BlizzCon is the brisket convention. What is brisket anyway?
It's a meat, some sort of meat. It's a Texan thing.
Like. Okay. Yeah, it looks like slices of meat. You know what? This stuff, I just image searched it.
Yeah.
It looks delicious, and I wouldn't blame people for having a BlizzCon.
I think we would probably know that as, like, Rib Fest, I think, is probably the closest thing.
Now, BlizzCon, I'll pass.
BlizzCon? Do I even want to know?
Well, you know what a bris is, right?
A bris? No.
A bris.
I'm sure if you explain it, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Watch Seinfeld.
I don't know.
Okay, so it is. I'm Googling it so I don't get it wrong.
Right.
The Brit Milah, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, which bris, is a Jewish religious male circumcision ceremony performed by a mole on the eighth day of a male infant's life.
So you probably don't want to go to that convention.
No judgment. My lack of attendance is not because, you know, I look down or discriminate anyway. Just not into the whole bris deal, so I'll be passing.
Well, what we're going to do is we are not going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about BlizzCon, and I will do my best to not say anything other than that for the rest of the show. Let's start with our safe bets and start with the behemoth in the room, the elephant in the room, if you will, Warcraft, World of Warcraft. As Blizzard has known it for some time now, considering we haven't seen anything outside of World of Warcraft besides the movie in the last 15 years. Warcraft, 7.2, that was my sort of safe bet. I mean, 7.1 was pretty much announced before the game came out, Legion. So 7.2 is something that, you know, if they're going to give us any morsel of Warcraft news, it's going to be like, hey, here's what's in 7.2, you can play it on the floor. It's not like they're going to say, hey, we know you want to get attuned for Karazhan, so you have that opportunity on the show floor. There's a whole segment of Warcraft computers for you. What do you think, Bo?
I think we definitely hear some 7.2 stuff. 7.1, mm-hmm. It's insane. It isn't insane how fast it came up, because I'm very happy to have the new content, and it honestly seemed like a little more than it was advertised. It's a content update, but, you know, ready to hear about 7.2. I guess we won't hear about 7.3, but if they're going to be, depending on how bite-sized everything is.
Right.
Because 7.2, there's this new Alcaz, or 7.1 is Alcaz Island. And I went there, and everything was elite, and there's no quests, and I guess you just do it for some weird stuff. They advertise it as, like, a significant piece of content, but it wasn't for me, so I was like, okay. And Karazhan's open, but the raid isn't. It really gets on my nerves, and, like, new content coming in 7.1. Well, but it's not out for another 3 weeks. So your content's not out. It doesn't get, even if you patched it into the... Anyways,
all so right. Maybe we will actually get Karazhan on the show floor.
Maybe. I think we hear about 7.2. I think we have to.
I think in terms of a safe bet, that's a pretty standard one as Warcraft goes, because you can't say new expansion as a safe bet, because, like, honestly, we just got one. And even if they were sticking to a yearly schedule, there's no way they would get in front of the thing they just sold you for $50 right. So soon. But I see here you got another little morsel here. Your thoughts on the Warcraft 2 movie.
Well, I mean, it might not be this one. I guess, yeah, I'm not standing behind this prediction. I also just want to say this, too. Mm-hmm. If some of our other tinfoil hat stuff comes to pass, I say we don't hear about 7.2 to steal the limelight. But if it's light, we hear all about 7.2 to fill up that camera time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So potentially, I think the Warcraft movie was overall a success. I don't see them not doing another movie unless they really just have it could be that the tepid reaction to it would be something I could see a company like Blizzard saying, like, well, we really need to take this back to the drawing board and do something different with it or whatever. And maybe we never hear of a movie again. Yeah. But if there is going to be a movie, I feel like now's the time to even just to tease, even just show us a little silhouette of Thrall in chains or something.
Yeah, I think the Warcraft movie, we'll probably come back to it a little bit, but you're right. If we see anything from the Warcraft movie, it's got to be, it doesn't even have to be anything. Just acknowledging the fact that they put a movie out this year is enough of an acknowledgement that they realize, because this is Blizzard's baby. This isn't like they shopped it out to someone and they made it and now they can be like, well, we licensed it out, it was their fault. They owned this product. And I know a lot of Warcraft fans love the movie, but a lot of people who don't know anything about Warcraft that I talk to really just did not like it. You know, it was, and a lot of those folks that didn't like it were kind of like, they were into The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and those type of big action flicks. But anybody who hasn't seen or has no interest in Warcraft was kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of weird that they talk and they're good and they're bad. And I thought it was an okay movie, probably the best video game movie that's ever come out, but that's a low bar.
And narratively, it was very... The Horde stuff was okay. Mm-hmm. The Alliance stuff just... It was awful. Like, and I loved the movie. Like, yeah. I would watch it. I'm a Warcraft fan. Of course I'll watch the movie and like it. I just don't... I think it's unfair to say something disingenuous, which is, I like the movie. I'd recommend people see it. I really enjoyed the Horde stuff, especially Gul'dan and Durotan, and even Draka. But the story was not good. It was just not good. And we say all the time, well, the special effects got in the way. Maybe that's true. These movies are built up by, like, thousands of people, so it's hard to know, pinpoint exactly where that fell off, and usually point to the director or writing staff. But I think overall the narrative, not that you need it to, we're not doing Shakespeare, but the Warcraft lore is known for being strong narratively. Yeah. And this was disjointed and not fun to follow, honestly.
Well, we don't need to get into a whole Warcraft movie discussion, but I did want to say that when it comes to Warcraft's narrative strong points, you start to see that post Game 1. But they wanted to start at the first piece moving on the board, which is Warcraft 1. The story in that is like a from a 25-year-old, 20. It's an old game, and the story, even the story that was told in that game, isn't the same that they told in the movie, or that's even told as canon these days. But I think that when it comes to seeing Warcraft's best stories told on film, you need to get past, you know, the orcs have invaded, and get into 2, 3. Wow, it's
such a rational approach to these things, because I don't think. Anyways, yeah, we don't want to get too deep into it, but I don't think you need to start, you know, like superhero movies. What about the origin? You don't need to start at origin. If the first superhero movie you watch is Civil War, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you know, like, and so I think...
That's a good point, too.
Part of what they take back is they're just like, we're just going to tell this story, and we're going to assume, you know, and if you don't, great, but we're going to tell it. I don't think, you know, we didn't need to know everyone's backstory in Pulp Fiction to enjoy the hell out of that movie when it came out and things like that. Like, it's just not necessary. I think sometimes we look at stuff, like, with a lot of lore and say, like, where do we start? Once upon a time.
They could have even gone back further if they really wanted to. Like, if they wanted to go forward but backwards and tell, like, the War of the Ancients. Or there's so much there, and you're right. They chose the first logical step, which seemed rational from the minds of Blizzard, because this is from the minds of Blizzard. And that's why I'm thinking that, yes, it's not crazy to think that they will at least acknowledge it. And if they're doing a sequel, which you got to think they are, because honestly, like, this is their baby. And I think they did it right, and they just need to kind of take another whack at it and, spend some more time on story and whatnot. But anyways, Warcraft movie aside, we'll come back to that again later on. But StarCraft... Let's look at StarCraft, something that a lot of people would probably say is kind of like a, I don't know, next to Diablo, you could kind of say one of the two most ignored franchises from Blizzard, unless you're talking about additional heroes and Heroes of the Storm. But mine's pretty basic. Covert Ops is going to get its concluding part at some point after BlizzCon, maybe even, you know.
That hasn't come out yet. I thought maybe the third mission pack came out.
No, well, actually, it could have. It wouldn't surprise me if it did and I missed it, because honestly,
yeah, like, who cares?
They've been advertising it, like, even barely in the launcher under StarCraft.
Yeah, and no, Mission Pack 3 is out, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think it's because if you're into StarCraft, you know about it, and if you're not, they're not marketing to you right now.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, you haven't played the first three parts, but what you're really going to dig is Mission Pack 3. Like... Yeah, I thought it was not.
It's
not for you, Ryan.
Well, I love it. That's the problem.
You're not allowed to play. You're not allowed to be interested in it or know about it.
All right. Well, evidently it's out. So my prediction is it's already come true. All hail Ryan Nostradamus, all that fun stuff. But let's hear what you got to say about it. I want to hear what you think about StarCraft.
All right. Well, StarCraft has a strong esports following. I think a lot of people are looking to see what's next for the RTS thing. Blizzard doesn't let RTS die, right? Like, it's not StarCraft peters out and that's the last we hear about anything in that genre. If I feel Blizzard's got to continue that tradition, and that's something that they're going to ace when the time comes. I don't think we hear about a new RTS this year. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. What we will see, though, and what I've been playing a lot of is Allied Commanders, which is awesome, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we just got Nova, because it works kind of like Heroes, where you get a hero, but it's in the StarCraft context. So I think we hear about more Allied Commanders stuff, too. I think that's the DLC path, and I don't think that's over. They're still adding new missions. Mm-hmm. There's this really awesome mission for Allied Commanders where Egon's addicted to Terrazine, and he's like infatuated with the planet because he refers to the planet as a her, and she's like, he talks to the robot. Like, it's really funny and well done. There's a Sergeant Hammer map in there too, and she's like a hero's original creation, but she turns up as a mission narrator and character NPC, if you will. Mm-hmm. In one of the missions. I think there's like a lot of Untilled Earth here, and I really enjoy Allied Commanders quite a bit. So I think at baseline, like we're saying, the normal stuff I think we'll expect to see is a new set of mission packs, not the Nova mission pack, but the, I don't know, Abathur's Picnic.
Oh, I would play that. You know, and I would probably know about it.
Yeah, probably an Abathur campaign. I'm guessing I'm putting my money on Abathur. He's beloved. Or Alarak. And some new allied commanders into the roster.
So this is that's an interesting prediction, because I think it's probably more correct and more well thought out than mine. Just they're going to release something that's already out. And that's probably more my cynicism when it comes to StarCraft. I really love Blizzard's approach to single player content, and the fact that they've been ignoring it so well lately. I won't include Warcraft because they have been doing a great job with content there, but you know, just with the Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, and Overwatch, the way they've been approaching those games and kind of, you know, pushing story aside and making it just like sizzle text here and there and comics and whatnot. But when it comes to StarCraft, there's a mystery virtual ticket item that we don't know what it is. The only context we get is that it will be revealed, obviously, at BlizzCon, and the fact that it will be purchasable separately. So I think your idea that Allied Commanders will be announced for StarCraft probably falls in line with whoever has that virtual ticket is going to get one of those Allied Commanders for free. Because that seems like a small enough morsel of content to give away to people who pay the $40 for the extra digital goodies. And those Allied Commanders are like $5 a pop, right? Is that the case?
I think it's $5. I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure, because I bought Nova. I played her a couple of times. Pretty fun. I could see that being... that's a small enough piece of content. I could see it being given away. Mm-hmm. But I think I think a lot of the goodies were revealed, though.
Well, there is one item that's...
StarCraft, it was an announcer pack, which is that's something also that they're experimenting a lot with. There was a survey sent out, you know, asking people if they want Snoop Dogg announcer pack and stuff like that. I think there's a D.Va announcer pack for StarCraft. Like, it's hard to imagine that they have this content and that there's no plans for something in the StarCraft client. And we'll get to tinfoil hat theories, because this stuff, I think, is just baseline. We get Allied Commanders. We get some quality of life announcements. And, you know, they just released a new laddering system in StarCraft. And we get new mission packs. I think there's maybe more, if they're still investing in the ecosystem. I mean, it's Blizzard. They could just be doing it because they're passionate about it. But I kind of feel like maybe there's some more life left in the StarCraft 2.
I hope you're right. Environment. I really do. Speaking of tinfoil, let's just keep trucking here. Diablo. It's been a while since Diablo's seen some significant content. My prediction is... I couldn't think of anything safe bet, because every time I make a safe bet for Diablo, I'm always wrong because they just don't really do much. But thanks to a leak, it looks like we're going to be getting a new class, possibly the Necromancer. It was just some concept art, and the reason people think it is a leak of a new class is because it's got both the male and the female version back to back, which is kind of how they've been doing concept art for a lot of their classes. Now, I mean, I could see this as a stopgap to kind of keep people happy and keep trucking in Diablo, as opposed to, you know, putting out full-fledged content. But it could also be part of an expansion, but it's probably more likely at this point that it's just a new class for people to check out, possibly with the new season coming up whenever that starts. But Bo, you have additional thoughts alongside this hero DLC, right?
Well, baseline, because of the leak, we can all at least, like, it just, I mean, it's not confirmation, but why else would there be a piece of art like that on the, was it on the Gear Store?
It was on the Gear Store, yeah.
Yeah, because it still could just be part of the anniversary event. Yeah. I think baseline, not tinfoil hat, what we can expect is a celebration of the Diablo franchise. Maybe a little retrospective thing. There is a spot on the schedule for it. It literally could just be fan stuff and Diablo stuff and nothing. Last year, you and I had a conversation on this very show about how there's got to be something new. They left the narrative in Reaper of Souls unfinished. There is no sort of conclusion. It wasn't even a good cinematic. It was like, I mean, it was good, but it was the papyrus business.
Sure, yeah.
Like, oh no, even the Nephilim are so powerful, even heaven and hell can't rival it. What will be done? And
which was a cool concept, right? That you are now the bad guy.
To me, clearly, I don't see it. You know, I'm going to say the same thing. I don't think it's tinfoil hat, but it could very well be wrong because I was wrong last year. that it's there's a celebration event that's got it. They have to tie it to an announcement of some kind. I think my head is going to, there is another expansion coming this year. I'm going to say it again.
This year? Wow.
No, sorry, announced this year. It could be this year. I mean, it's been a long time.
They love March for these Diablo releases. I think Reaper of Souls was February, March-ish. So let's say
I'm saying expansion.
Okay.
Announcement as a baseline. And I'll save the other stuff because I got a lot of other thoughts on Diablo. Baseline, this is a Diablo year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And honestly, it's companies like Blizzard, like Nintendo, other companies of that ilk, where they take these anniversaries mostly seriously. Nintendo has been at fault lately for ignoring certain characters that they just don't want to bother with. But I think Blizzard is one of those companies that when there's a major anniversary, they're going to do something for it. And they've always made good on that. Even if they're not even releasing content for that game, they try to do something to celebrate that. But we'll get more into Diablo later, but here comes the sizzle reels. We've got Heroes of the Storm, which, I mean, it's so hard to predict these smaller titles because they're a lot more agile. But I figure, you know, like new content, sizzle reel, you know, heroes, skins, possibly a map.
We have prior art is not the right term, but we've got past behavior to predict this. It's always three heroes.
Okay.
One of them's always weird. So last year, Cho'Gall, year before Lost Vikings, year before that, I think Sylvanas was year before that, and she falls into a weird cat. Like, I don't think Abathur might have been announced even when the original announcement took place. There's always a weird thing. So baseline, I think we can safely say, safe bet, three heroes, one weird one, mm-hmm. one map, and some quality of life, like the, you know, quality of life stuff stapled all into the bundle.
Yeah, I think showing off some of that quality of life stuff, which they've been doing to their credit, they've been doing throughout the year. You know, the mm-hmm. MVP stuff's been nice, the Hero League overhaul, just a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, having some more, like clans is something I've heard a lot about. That I would love to see, because right now they just have the sort of slash join, which works, but it's not really an organized way. And they've kind of done some things there where you can open up your friends list and see all the people that are in that channel and go from there. But I think it can be an easy one to just throw it out there. Three heroes, one map, one weird, blah, 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 and a couple of quality of life. But I think these titles are so agile that they can throw out and say, you know, like last year when we got Brawl, they could come out and say, here's the big wacky thing we're going to have out before next year's BlizzCon. Something for you to look forward to.
Well, the quality of life stuff is like the tournament. They're paying players salaries next year in the 2017, year. And their Milk Fat, who is an esports guy over there, said they're tripling the amount of esports content they're doing. So like on video and things of that nature. So there's going to be more production, more stuff to put your eyeballs on the Heroes front. That's probably all going to get talked about with that. I'd love to see clans. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that you could pretty safely say might come up. The other thing that they're going to talk about is, of course, they're probably going to feature some arena stuff coming down the pipeline. Okay. I have no doubt they're going to be like, and here's a little taste of some of our arena stuff coming down the way. And so we'll probably see that too.
Now, when you say arena, are you talking about maps? Are you talking about Brawl? Like, or is this a new mode?
No. Well, okay, so it was called Brawl. It's now called Arena.
Brawl anymore?
No. That's why I'm using the correct... Well, wait. It's called Brawl. It was called Arena. I had it backwards. That's
true. Yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure I clicked on Brawl today.
I had it in my head. I was like, oh, he used the wrong word. It's Arena. And I was like, no, I'm the wrong one. My world is upside down.
I remember its original... reveal as something like, oh man, this is what I want in Heroes. And then when they say, yeah, it's a whiles away, we just wanted to give you a taste, 2016, like late 2016. And we did get it probably like a month before BlizzCon, and I'm happy for it. It's a lot of fun. Moving into Hearthstone, there's been some announcement leaks that we're going to get a new... Obviously, we know we're going to get a new expansion because they pretty much like laid out the schedule, so we know we're getting an expansion reveal. There's been some Gadgetzan related sort of reveals. I was joking around during our Extra Life stream that, hey, what if it's a remastering of Goblins versus Gnomes, where they look at cards and bring them back up? And I don't think they'd do that, and neither did Jocelyn. She thought that would be crazy and would set Reddit on fire. They would never do that. They would not want to take the heat on that one. But the fact that they're going back to the Gadgetzan. We'll just call it Gadget. Yeah. You know, going back to the Gadgetzan.
Gadgetzan.
I don't even know. Gangascan. Kangaskhan.
Genghis Khan. Back to Genghis Khan. Actually, it's not Genghis, it's Genghis.
Genghis?
I'm pretty sure Genghis is the correct.
I was trying to say the Pokemon name. What's the Pokemon name?
I don't.
Kangaskhan? I think it's Kangaskhan.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, so you can tell I'm not super into Hearthstone, but I do appreciate when they announce new content, because I think it's just super fun to watch them talk about their content. They're all so pumped for these new cards, and I'm excited to see what they've got under their sleeve. So I've heard it could be a goblin sort of gnome thing with this town that we've been trying to pronounce, and the fact that it might be like mob era 50s style, which is kind of exciting, because I really like when they try to do sort of genre work with, you know, they did the disco with, you know, A Night at Karazhan and all that fun stuff. So yeah, new expansion, super safe bet, because we know what's happening. What are your thoughts, Bo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much what everyone's saying. I'd be surprised if it wasn't, and why wouldn't it be? That's sort of the problem with this, is now that Hearthstone's a thing, the big reveal isn't a reveal. It's, you know, it's because Magic sort of does this appreciably, is that they announce their, you just get the title, but you kind of know it's coming down the pipe in dribs and drabs, and there isn't this big, and here's the new thing. Like, and we're getting this in Heroes 2, where I said on Core, I said, yeah, we're getting 3 Heroes. Like I'm looking forward to it, but it's not like, it's not mind melding when you see a new WoW trailer or something like that. It's like, at least for me, it's, there's going to be new cards. I'm looking forward to them. Hope it's great. I used to play a lot of Hearthstone, not as much anymore. I don't feel a huge sense of anticipation. Mm-hmm. What really piqued my interest was the Heroic Brawl that's coming up.
Oh.
And have you, so has Joss talked to you about this one?
Where, I don't know anything about it, this. I know Twitter was kind of upset about it, but.
They're always upset because some people want some things and other people want different things, and nobody wants what the other person wants. But effectively, for the longest time, you can do this online or in person. Magic drafting has been a thing. You ante up 50. Everyone antes up $15 or something. You get your packs, you draft a deck, you play, and the tournament winner walks away with the prize that was funded by the money. And it's just, it's hard to not look at what Magic's doing and want a lot of these things for Hearthstone. And Hearthstone's been very insistent on doing its own thing, which is fine. But Arena is the functional analog to drafting and Magic. And people have a desire both in Constructed and in drafting to ante up money, to win, to be the first place, and to get a good prize for it. And so this Heroic Brawl is pay $10. And it works just like Arena, except it's a Constructed deck. If you lose 3 times, you're out. So if you go 0-3, you're out, and you get squat. But if you can win up to 12 games, you get 50 packs for $10. Hmm. And 3 guaranteed legendaries or 2, and a ton of dust and a ton of gold. And there's a steep drop off in prizes, but then there's like a good, you know, maybe go infinite kind of area, except I think you can only play once in this brawl. But it's definitely a test bed for just a permanent paid tournament feature in the game. And Hearthstone has a large client base. Even if it's 10% of the people who want to contribute or play in these modes in a committed way, it's still a large number of people. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of revenue to just be keep injecting, because a lot of people just buy cards and then they're done and they've got to release new sets. This revenue model, because it's digital goods, it's not like they got to print anything, and there's no secondary market because you can't trade the cards. But this model might be a more consistent revenue stream from the 10% who want to engage in that kind of competition. And like, I did play a lot of Magic, and for a good long while on Magic Online, I didn't have to buy in anymore because I wouldn't win every draft that I do, but I'd win enough and be able to sell off enough of my cards that I didn't want on the secondary market to keep just playing for free. So anyways, I think there's a lot of people I would love and think they're going to talk a little bit more about the Heroic Brawl and what that might mean for the future, would be my hope. Okay. They might just say, we're testing it out, leave us alone. But I don't see how you announce, they know what they're announcing. I don't see how they announce that and not talk about it. And to me, the paid tournament topic is the most important thing. New cards, they're coming. It's set now. Be excited right. for it. But like, personally, even if I played a lot of Hearthstone, like I play a lot of Heroes. I know new Heroes are coming. I'm not like, oh my God, new Heroes. I'm like, well, let's see what they give. And if I like it, I'll be excited. There's nothing unexpected that I'm just like, you know? And so,
makes sense.
Yeah. Also, on the repurposing of cards, I predict they do that at some point, that they bring back old classics into new sets. That's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, any company that company does it already. They've repurposed a lot of content, even narrative, you know?
It's just, you know, a card that's a favorite card 5 years ago might actually have a second shelf life unchanged. You might be like, man, remember, yeah. I don't know, Clockwork Gnome, such a great card. Haven't seen it for a long time. Oh my God, they're bringing Clockwork Gnome back. Like maybe it's not it's too soon, yeah. But you know. Yeah.
We can see, and I think you're right. Like now that we have the schedule down with Hearthstone, we can kind of say, okay, we know we're getting cards, but what else are we getting? It's basically the Reddit mentality, right? Like when they announce new cards, like, okay, great, we're getting new cards. But what else is this game getting to kind of inject more into it? And that's why I'm always more excited about adventure announcements, which is why I'm not super stoked about Hearthstone's announcements, because I'm kind of like, if it's not an adventure, it's okay, more cards that I can, you know, maybe not buy. So I'm looking forward to seeing something new. I don't think the Heroic Brawl is for me, same with paid tournaments, but I do know a lot of people will be looking forward to paid tournaments, especially Jocelyn, who organizes tournaments, and it's a lot of work. So finally, before we move into the ad spot here, Overwatch. Safe bet, Sombra. I mean, come on, they've been talking about it for months.
Yeah, this is the safe, remember, folks listening, this is the safe bet segment.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get into the crazy stuff after. Yeah. We're just saying Sombra's happening.
I feel like Overwatch is the easiest. Sombra, probably some new heroes and some new maps. Like, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's probably a good bet. And maybe something besides just, you know, some hints that we have more than just the holiday content to look forward to. Maybe something along the lines of, content packs as opposed to just trickling of new content that isn't like themed skins, because we haven't had a refresh with that stuff since May.
Scott told me, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it's wrong, but he's the last person I asked and talked about, is that the game is a one purchase deal.
Yes.
There's no, except for loot boxes, no other purchases. Mm-hmm. So when you say content packs, that sounds like, would you mean new brawls? Or,
I think new content packs, and just that we're going to be seeing not DLC, but just packs. Like, when I say packs, it sounds like sold content, but just content drops that aren't just Halloween. Here's our Halloween event. Rather than getting a Halloween event, maybe we get a hacker event where Sombra is here and the brawl is Sombra focused. And there's a new map for Sombra. It's similar to what we get in Heroes of the Storm with the, the Machine War. War of the Machines. You know, we get something like that, mm-hmm. but in mm-hmm. Overwatch. As opposed to the way they dropped Ana and then that new Bastion map, or Reinhardt map. Where it's just sort of like, it's in the game now, guys. Enjoy. Maybe we get some more themed stuff, and maybe that's why it's taken so long for them to release Sombra. They figured, you know, let's do a little bit more with it besides throw out a comic and, you know, some flavor text. Let's get it in there with some real fervor. But at this point, I think everyone's just ready to get it over with, because they've been teasing this character for so long. June, people were saying. Yeah, but we're going to get more into that. And like you said, this was the safe bet stuff. So don't feel like we're going easy on these folks, because what's happening next is going to be pretty crazy, probably. Looking at this list, yeah, it's going to be crazy. So let's talk about glassware and shirts. Amove.tv, we have some fantastic glassware and shirts. You can pick up our glassware at etched.amove.tv, where you can get stemless wine glasses, coffee mugs, beer or pint glasses, really great stuff. And then shirts.amove.tv, you can get Angry Chicken shirts, Gamers In, Into the Nexus, Let's Talk About Star Wars, even Zombies Ate My Podcast is up there, all at shirts.amove.tv. Okay, now let's talk about the long shots, the BlizzCon predictions that are crazy. And you definitely don't want to bet anything on this, because most likely we will be completely wrong. But I will remind folks that I did properly predict the fact that we would be getting StarCraft 2 story DLC, which we got. Still not all out yet, or I guess it could be out, just Blizzard doesn't want me to know. But let's jump in here. I feel like I've been talking a lot, so I'll let you, Bo, take Warcraft and run with it.
You were doing your ad spot, so
it's true. Know. Well, I'm going to take a break. And what do you think about Warcraft?
All right, so Warcraft. Well, I think we still. This doesn't get crazy. We get 7.2. I don't think we're ready for any teasing. I think now's not the time for any announce any new expansions or anything. Mm-hmm. I think they just keep riding this wave of awesome for Legion. So the Warcraft movie could be in our, crazy predictions. I still feel that it would be maybe a little too soon, but it's reasonable to expect at some point the next Warcraft film gets announced. The big thing for me is we talked about StarCraft, and I want to see the RTS, their RTS tradition continue. And I think the big question is, do they make more StarCraft? Is StarCraft just now the province of the RTS in their pantheon of games? And the other thought that I think a lot of people have is, well, we can't make a Warcraft RTS because we got World of Warcraft. Like, so far, the streams don't cross with Blizzard 2.0. You know, the ever since World of Warcraft and then StarCraft 2, like all these releases, they don't cross their streams unless they're specifically designed to be ridiculous, like Hearthstone and Heroes. But genre-wise, there's no StarCraft card game coming out. You know, there's not going to be a StarCraft first-person shooter, you know, in the vein of Overwatch. Like, that stuff's not happening. Mm-hmm. But Warcraft does have it. There's not going to be a Diablo RTS. Warcraft does have its tradition in the RTS. This could be a year where we see a Warcraft announcement for the RTS genre.
Yeah.
It has a long tradition. It survives on in World of Warcraft, but World of Warcraft is not the RTS, and I think there is an audience for that. And I wonder a lot of I've got a big tinfoil hat. Let's talk about Titan. Let's talk about Titan.
Oh, yeah. Right? Okay. We're going way back. All right. Let's talk about Titan. Titan's back.
They were developing a second MMO. They shelve it. There's a story internally that gets out in media and dribs and drabs about its fate. It ends up as Overwatch. They say we don't scrap it. So we know the company has a philosophy of like, well, they didn't just flush the entire development of the game down the toilet, they made another game out of the ashes of the other one. You know, resource-wise, a lot of technology and a lot of ideas were probably created that don't see the light of day in Overwatch, that are not toilet-worthy. And they're probably more on the MMO side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, now bear with me.
Okay.
We're like level a billion. How many billions of levels are we going to go in World of Warcraft? I think that's got to end at some point. I don't think this game continues. Now, walk with me all the way to the well.
I'm going. Lead me.
Warcraft 3 sets up the story for World of Warcraft.
Right.
We get a Warcraft RTS. It sets up the story for what will be the progenitor, is that the right word? Like the next World of Warcraft, which might just be called still World of Warcraft, but is not built on the husk of a game engine designed last decade.
Right.
It gets updated. Maybe your characters move on as the grandchildren. You start at level one in a new World of Warcraft engine. To me, it seems dumb for a publicly traded company that has a one of a kind pedigree in the MMO market to say, we're good, we're just going to keep building on this thing. Eventually, you get a new iteration. They tried to do it internally. The goal was with a new IP. That's done. They got a shooter out of it. That's done. The no-brainer to me is it's another World of Warcraft. It is World of Warcraft almost literally, it's like the Kleenex of tissues. Like when you think MMO, that's the game you think of.
That's true.
Why are you going to make, turkeys and farmers MMO? It's like, well, we like this Warcraft thing. It's real good, but now we feel like turkeys. And Blizzard image is often one of, we're craftsmen, we're artisans, we just do what we feel like and we make what's good. It's a profit-driven company.
Sure.
Someone somewhere is saying, listen, people like the Warcraft. We make movies of it. You have lunchboxes with it. Like, but long-term, looking in the long-term, we can't use the same engine. So I think the husk of that is being repurposed for another World of Warcraft iteration, and the RTS would bridge. Finally bring it back to the RTS side of this conversation is that an RTS would bridge a narrative just as the first one did. Warcraft 3, that is, into original WoW.
I agree. I think that Warcraft 4 will certainly bridge WoW into WoW, whatever comes after that. But I doubt we'll see that at this year's BlizzCon or next year's or the year after that. Like we are far away from that, because I think, you mentioned Blizzard is a profit driven company and they'd like to make money. But I think I just think that it's too, they are happy.
Starcraft was announced like 3 to 5 years ahead of its release.
But that's the other thing too, is that they've made public comments that they announced Starcraft to Diablo 3 too soon. And that it spent too much time in development, and when they announce things, they want it to be out, a year or a year and a half later. I don't think it's crazy to think that we couldn't get a Warcraft 4 even before WoW needs to take a narrative timeout. I think we could have Warcraft 4 be basically the conclusion of Legion, leading to a time jump. And then the next expansion is a time jump. But then you get into the whole, like, wow, there's millions of people who play WoW that follow that story that maybe don't enjoy the RTSs and just solely know WoW. And I think Blizzard's very cognitive of that as well in knowing their player base. But, yeah, I don't think it's crazy to think that Blizzard is thinking beyond WoW as we know it and thinking about what comes next. And you're right. Like, when they were building Titan, they built technology that will someday, or may already have, been put into World of Warcraft, but yeah.
To be clear, I'm not predicting World of Warcraft at this year's BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, if we're going to get a new RTS announcement. And this is tinfoil hat land.
Yeah.
We said on a reasonable side of predictions, probably not going to mission packs, but on tinfoil hat land, there is an opportunity with that. The esports scene is shutting down. I don't follow the esports. I know there's a very prominent organization in South Korea that's no longer doing the StarCraft business, and that has a big impact on perception. I just feel like they're just not ignoring it. I feel like that's being in the works, and this would be a good year to even tease.
Yeah. And I
think it's Warcraft and not StarCraft. I think we're done with StarCraft after this.
Yeah, I think people in the chat room are sort of calling us on this as well. And yeah, these are the long shots. These are the tinfoil hat, and these predictions may be a little bit out there. We will get to Diablo in a bit, but let's talk about StarCraft. You mentioned a couple times. My thoughts were maybe more story DLC. Maybe they talk about how well received Covert Ops was, how well they did advertising it in the banner to people, not me, but more of that content. I'm not going to say it's easy to produce, but it's easier than producing a new version of StarCraft. But there were leaks, not leaks, but the strong rumblings of a StarCraft 1 remaster, which, I'm excited that people are excited, but I played the one true version of StarCraft 1, and that was on the N64, so I'm good. But
on the N64, you are a God among men.
I know. I was having a blast.
Even at that age, I knew I can't play this with the controller.
Nah, I was a console gamer primarily, and I'm like, what's StarCraft? What's this Blizzard? I don't know. Yes, StarCraft 1 is on the N64, folks. Go check it out. But you've got a little more details in here. We talked about more RTS. You're thinking that StarCraft is dunzo. Like you're thinking StarCraft is just minor DLC sprinkled in.
If it's not a remaster, I don't know why we're doing StarCraft 3. I don't know why we're just making the same game over again, especially when we're using StarCraft 2 to power heroes in some sense. Like, I think that if we're buying time, trying to keep StarCraft revenue stream in StarCraft beyond that, then we get something in the form of when I say a remaster, I just picture it in the StarCraft 2 engine. Like, they just take that and they do the mission pack work, but they have a full-blown purchase of the game. Right now, when you log into StarCraft client, the way you can pick the campaigns is very modular. Mm-hmm. You can picture very easily them adding the new mission packs to select on your campaign. So why not the StarCraft 1 selections too? Like, so that could be a buying of time until the Warcraft thing comes out. I think if they're announcing StarCraft 3, it's another big investment of time. They're saying we're doing this for another cycle of like X amount of years. If it's not a Warcraft RTS that's coming, it's a new IP.
Right.
They're doing something original in that space.
So you're thinking RTS general prediction something.
RTS is coming. People say RTS is dead. It has a dedicated fan base, and Blizzard, this is part of Blizzard's pedigree. I just don't see them turning their back on it.
Yeah. I mean, even they had two teams devoted to it.
Yeah, and like, I know a lot of that team is working on Heroes of the Storm, and I consider Heroes of the Storm an RTS. I mean, the MOBA genre is an orphan child of the RTS. There's a lot of strategic top-down elements. It's just teamwork-based, and you have greater agency on a fewer number of agents in the game, but I don't think the RTS goes out the window. Mike Morheim, like, he likes the StarCraft stuff the best. This is not secret. Like, I just don't see him being like, well, I like it, but no one else like it. So I think they're like, we're making tons of money. Even if it's a limited audience, there's RTS business continuing.
I think that's, they make enough money from StarCraft to warrant going forward. Like, you know, StarCraft probably makes the least, but I still think when you get right down to it, any other company making an RTS is not making nearly as much money. Like, Blizzard is recouping their costs. They might not be seeing, you know, the balance book that they want, like they're seeing from Warcraft or Hearthstone or Overwatch, but they're making a profit on it. They gotta be. So, yeah, so some sort of RTS product. I wanted to take a pause here and take a look at the chat room. Hanzio is talking about, I'm going to assume the L is silent. Hanzio is saying that they did purchase a TV studio. That was actually Activision Blizzard, but there was an article just recently I read that Blizzard said, yeah, we'd be considered doing some sort of TV animated TV series of one of our IPs, but I would think they're saying StarCraft would be really cool. But I think if you want to hit sort of the best bang for your buck, you go with Overwatch, just because they're already doing that.
Boo, I'd rather see StarCraft.
I know, and you know, even though this is the long shots, it's still, you know, some, you know, tethered to reality. But let's talk about Diablo. Let's leave the RTS world behind and talk about Diablo. I kind of, you know, said the long shot would be some sort of new expansion. That was sort of my thinking, just the way that Blizzard's been treating Diablo. But, you know, with the 20th anniversary, you kind of think that a new class, like, you know, one that's beloved from a past Diablo game, would make the perfect sense to celebrate an anniversary by saying, like, hey, happy 20 years. Here's a class that we didn't give you from one of our older games. Like, does that not seem, like, realistic? Or are you thinking they go a little farther? I know it sounds awful.
It sounds awful.
But it's better than what most companies give us, right?
It sounds like, come on, this is a game where they're still actively doing seasons. It's, again, all of their IPs are very important to their brand identity. Mm-hmm. We went last year without hearing anything. I still think it was really important that we heard something about Diablo last year. It's getting long in the tooth. the game is not aging as well as Warcraft is, or even StarCraft is. Yeah. It's not aging as kindly. When I log in, it feels like kind of low poly count, man. And still fun. I still play it, but I don't know. Like, give us some stuff. And so that's why I put my tinfoil hat would be, it's just a celebration about 20th anniversary. If this whole weekend is just 20th anniversary and nothing, that seems crazy to me. Seems insane.
It seems like a very Nintendo thing to do, where if it's not Mario or Zelda, doesn't matter if it's an anniversary, we're just going to say, hey, this is the day that Metroid came out 20 years ago. Here's a cool tweet. And it's like, I can't even buy like new amiibos. This is crazy. So I can see Blizzard treating, like I said, I think they see, even though, you know, they kind of hold their properties, they don't hold their properties on a single, you know, level. I think that Diablo and StarCraft sort of exist underneath, you know, some of their more popular, more well-known projects, which is Warcraft, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, and Overwatch. I mean, I agree with you. If they don't do more than just say, hey, it's the 20th anniversary, here's a cool new class, and here's a greeting card that you can give your friends, or a new poster that you can buy, it's a missed opportunity, because there are lots of people who love Diablo and want to celebrate this 20th anniversary. And I agree with you. It would be, I think it's a long shot prediction to say that Blizzard does nothing, because I think Blizzard really does care about each and every one of their properties. And 20 is a pretty big milestone. I can see you skipping over 15 with a little bit of content, but 20 is a big deal. You know, the 10s are huge. I think the 10s are important.
Yeah, I just think without the announcement, without the leak of the Necromancer, I'm still waiting. I'm a Diablo player. I'm waiting for the next beat in the story. And we talked about this last year. The story wasn't concluded.
No. Yeah.
Whether it's an X-Pack or Diablo 4, kind of don't care. Something. I just want new content. Like, yeah. I'll be happy either way. And the only thing that sort of irks me about Diablo is this policy of one class. So if there's an X-Pack and the Necromancer is the one class, I'm hoping it's like, here's two classes to come with. Like, I'm also hoping here's a class with the X-Pack and here's seven more classes, Amazon and all the people, all the old classes that you can purchase for $5 to $10 a piece. I'm on board with the extra money. Do it. Give me some variety in that game, because we've been playing that game for, how long has it been? It's been a long time. It's the same five classes. You're going to add a sixth class? Like, I'm going to play the Necromancer, and then I'm going to move on to something else. So, yeah. I don't know.
Now there's some interesting stuff coming into the chat room. A lot of people are saying that Blizzard's been hiring people for an unannounced Diablo project for quite some time. New Diablo heroes. We could see them celebrate Diablo outside of the Diablo game in Heroes of the Storm, maybe, with Deckard Cain or something, which is a common one that gets, I know it was thrown out a lot on the latest core. But a Diablo 4 announcement, like Jimmy's saying, this, again, I've always said Blizzard's kind of moving a little too closely to a company that cares more about the content that keeps on selling as opposed to content that rewards people who love single-player campaigns. I love a good campaign. I love StarCraft 2. Everything they did with that was amazing. Diablo 3, I'm back in. I love it. Warcraft, to a certain extent, the story is really fun, but there's a lot of fluff. It is an MMO, so, you know,
it's to be expected. Oh, yeah. Don't you love having to grind 10,000 reputation to hear the next part of the story? It's so amazing.
I don't
even
think I'm at that point. Like, right now, I'm, like, just continue. I don't even know where to go next. I'm like, anyways.
The first half of Warcraft is amazing, and then the rep grind and the timed lock on things. I'm going to leave it at that, but it makes me, gives me the vapors.
Yeah, but I feel like we have this we have that conversation every time a new expansion comes out. It's the same thing. Everyone's in love with it for the first month, because it's all new story content, and then they have to keep you playing, so they gate a lot of that story content behind rep grinds and gear grinds. And it's an MMO. It's to be expected. But Jimmy's saying, what if the Diablo 4 announcement will have some sort of microtransaction to continuously bring in revenue? Which would feel like the new Blizzard model, which is like, we'll sell you a product, but we need a way for you to continuously give us money in exchange for really cool free content. I will give them that most of the time they do put out some really cool content. With Heroes, we get maps. With Hearthstone, we get modes. With Overwatch, we get heroes, maps, and all that fun stuff. So what about Diablo 4? What if they nail the revenue generation?
Like free to play Diablo 4, like Path of Exile?
Yeah. What if they come out with something that's just strictly cosmetic? I don't know, you unlock new classes, maybe something along the lines of that Marvel game.
Marvel Alliance is super fun. Listen, Path of Exile was really fun.
Sure.
I'm on board if it's a free-to-play model, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I'm on board if they want to do Diablo with microtransactions, because yes, there is the narrative, but the majority of my playtime in Diablo is doing endgame stuff. Mm-hmm. So give me a lot of variety. I'm on board with this. Okay. I think Path of Exile. I think pre Path of Exile, we'd be skeptic. I think Path really nailed the free to play model on it, and I've played that game, and I don't think I spent any money in it.
Hmm.
And I feel like there's so much of that game that remained unexplored, and that I still am curious about. Like they did the like the materia tree as they're leveling. There's a lot of cool stuff in Path of Exile. One would hope they'd look at that and say, wow, there's some good lessons to be learned here. And maybe that means free to play. I'd be into it. I'm all in on this. Free to play Diablo. Maybe it's not Diablo 4. It's just Diablo. It's a rebrand. It's free to play and it's online. And every year there's new maps and zones and end game. Yeah.
I just want more Diablo. And if that's what Blizzard needs to do it, then fine. Whatever. It's fine. It's okay. I left the next one blank because I figured you would run across the hall and scream with your tinfoil hat. Here's the storm. What are we going to see? Because we talked about the sizzle reel. We talked about the heroes. So, I want to know your theories.
I've already put my tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, I know. You never took it off.
Encore yesterday. So, you know, good old Milkfat. I just love this guy's like handle. It's pretty memorable. And it's very simple, but great. Milkfat made a comment in reference to tripling the amount of esports content, which I took out of context to mean just triple the amount of content. Huh. Although I still think they should do this, because like I said in my safe bets, it's like Hearthstone. It's pretty predictable. I'm not like, what are they going to show us? Everyone's like, are they going to show us three heroes in one map? Well, why are we doing a show about this? It's like we have this every month. It's like there's a tease and there's a hero. And it's not that I don't like the game. It's just it can only talk about the same thing so much until you're just like, well, all right. We see the pattern. We see the routine. So like, I'm excited, but I'm not like shaking with excitement.
Yeah.
What would excite me is if they decided to, you know, because they're really all in on this fast hero release. And I just took the word triple and ran with it. I said, well, why not show us 9 heroes? Why not show us a bunch? Why not release 5 at a time and make us buy it in a 5 bundle? Or make you gather 4 of your friends and you all put your fist together Power Rangers style and you each purchase one at a big discount because you did it as a team.
That's crazy.
I know it's crazy. But Blizzard, that
got nuts.
That those kinds of predictions, like those kinds of things, would be exciting. Otherwise, it's still a fun esports event. It's their big tournament of the year. I think that's the big draw for heroes. I think the announcements are cool. But, you know, as you know, the reason why we love the Blizzard announcements is because they took forever to release their games. And when they showed us the stuff, it was amazing. New Blizzard, in the form of Hearthstone and in the form of Heroes specifically, is frequent stuff. It's losing its specialness. So I mean, tinfoil hat theories is that they make it special by going above and beyond just the paradigm that they will definitely be setting if they follow it this year. Yeah.
Now, Perfecti in the chat room is saying, heroes take a lot of time to develop, which is true. Right now, they got it down to a science of like 3 weeks, every 3 weeks is mm-hmm. Which is crazy, crazy to me. But, you know, I could also, would it impact the game to hold back the heroes and release maybe even 2 or 3 at a time and not do 2 or 3 every 3 weeks, but 2 or 3 every month and a half, you know, would that be crazy?
I've made that argument too, because League, I think they get like 4 to 6, maybe 1 or 2 reworks.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes forever. It's a big event when they have a hero release, but But Heroes has the opposite pool. They're trying to go at a rapid clip. I think if they had it their way, based on the tone of interviews and stuff, they'd just dump like hundreds of them on us at a time.
Wow.
I feel like the 3 weeks is – I feel 3 weeks is very aggressive for their team. And Perfecti says Heroes take a lot of time, and that's not how production works. Totally agree. At the same time, I'm not here to apologize for them. It's their job to tell me why it's not possible. It's my job to make demands mm-hmm. as a consumer. And it doesn't mean I'm any less passionate or I like them any less because I say, I want 50 Heroes released tomorrow. And if you don't, I'll hate your game forever. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Enjoy 50 Heroes. Like,
I'm saying...
It's crazy.
I'd love it if you release 50 Heroes.
Sure.
I'll ask for it, and I'll let you say no. That's how I work anyway. So. Right. So it's not my job to apologize for you. It's your job to explain to me why I can't have the thing that I want. Because I'm expressing to the company when we do these shows and we talk about it, what I feel. And that feedback's very important to get mm-hmm. a sense of what we think about their company.
I understand what you're saying, basically, in that we're in a rhythm where even Ryan, someone who doesn't really pay attention to the hardcore Blizzard stuff, and to know they release a new hero every 3 weeks, I think you have to be a step beyond I play every once in a while. You kind of have to know it. So if it's been 3 weeks for a while, so I think at this point they need to come up with a way that is that mixes that up. And personally, I would like to see them release less heroes and more maps, because I don't know, like, I love Towers of Doom, and the new StarCraft maps that they've added, it's just been like, that's been a bigger boom to my gameplay in that game as opposed to new heroes, because I'm playing the same heroes quite a bit now that I'm enjoying Hero League more than I am Quick Match. I'm playing a lot of Vala, a lot of Sylvanas, a lot of Diablo. So like, the new heroes not getting as much love, although I know Vala and Sylvanas have seen some love recently, but and Diablo probably as well, but yeah. Anyways, I don't know where I'm going with that. So you have more hero stuff?
No, that's legit, actually. And there's a few commenters in the chat room. Jimmy Shovel says, you know, it's a bit fast. And the balance patches have been crazy. And the complaints about Samuro are piling up. And Zarya's seen a ton of changes. The fact is, every hero that they add to the game exponentially increases the labor on the balance side, effectively. Like, it's not just, oh, add a hero, it's fine. The complexity of how the game is balanced increases, and I'm sure they're good at predicting some things, but all games produce results for their developers that are unpredictable. Yeah. And so you're right, that's very tough to manage. I'm just saying, if they're gonna lean into it, because at this point I think they're very committed to the 3 weeks, where we talk about this every week. I'm sort of done saying slow down, because initially that was my sense too. I just don't think that they're interested in slowing down. So that would be a big surprise if they're like, we're announcing 3 heroes and that's all you're getting this year.
Oh, well, that would be crazy.
Wouldn't it though?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else that you think we'll get for heroes? Anything beyond like the status quo?
Beyond the status quo, I want to see, again, the tournaments, esports features built into the client. I want to be able to watch games live in the client. Mm-hmm. And I want replays to work better so I can cap out highlights without it taking a freaking hour. It's getting better, but we need more work on that. And I don't know, just other stuff that I can't think of that they're cooking over there. I feel like they're cooking stuff and they've been keeping the smell contained.
I think when it comes to
Heroes, could just be farts.
It could be farts. Honestly, it's Blizzard. They could be working on a lot of things. It could also just be the stew that they ate last night. Heroes of the Storm, I think, is posed to be one of those games that they can be the most unpredictable. I know a lot of people are saying, like, well, Hearthstone. It's like, well, I think Hearthstone nailing down their schedule for the year with the whole announcement of Year of the Squid or whatever, has really nailed them into a corner. Whereas with Heroes of the Storm, like, we've only nailed down ourselves on Heroes. Like, we can do whatever we want everywhere else. I think you can get a little more unpredictable there. And I will admit I'm a little biased because I enjoy Heroes over Hearthstone. But speaking of which, let's talk about Hearthstone. I wrote nothing in here because I feel like, I don't know, new expansion. I know I'm crazy to say only the new expansion, and there's probably something else there, but the sort of the path they take is at BlizzCon they announce the new content, and move on. They have it on every platform. There's no more like, oh, when are they going to announce it on iPhone? It's already on iPhone. It's on tablets. It's on your computer. I don't know what else they could do to kind of like blow our minds.
Yeah. How about a fully featured client and stop being trying to be the Apple of trading card games? Like, it's not about content. Their game is great. I love all that they've done. I mean, we could be picky about, you know, I wish there was a second resource, or I wish this mechanic was in there. I'm not going to talk about that. The client is designed to be easy to use, slick, designed to work on mobile devices and translate well. I'm sure Jocelyn's talked to you about only having 9 decks in Hearthstone. I know that's changed, but that was a monumental effort. And it's because of this design philosophy, which, to its credit, I think is part of its charm and success. But there is a ton of stuff that trading card enthusiasts, collectible card game enthusiasts love, like tournament modes, clan organization. And look, Magic the Gathering Online, even in its latest iteration, is hot garbage. It's not designed, like, that's an example of they have everything, and oh my God. it looks horrible. Like, at one point, it just looked like, you know, computer barf. And
just bits and bytes everywhere. It's just
text and weird color, questionable color and font decisions, and just, it's, you know, people are really, people are really passionate about that game if they'll sit and endure that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Magic is, and mind you, I think the in-game logic and the way the game itself functions is very good, and they probably spend most of their time working on that stuff. But in terms of the presentation, I understand it's important for Hearthstone, but it needs more robustness. This is the most vital part, because now a lot of people are investing in it, and their time in it, their careers in it. And, you know, something as small as you can't use your golden legendaries or golden cards, period, in Arena is an absolute, like, that, it makes me upset. I try not to think about it. So that would be the tinfoil hat theory, where they sit down and they say to us, look, we know there's a lot of stuff you want, and we've kind of been, we're giving it all to you. Whatever whatever UI stuff that needs to be there, better deck collection system, a way to organize the cards so you don't have to look at them and touch them. There are plenty of people who would rather look at a list and pick their cards from lists. I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool the way it's all tactile and stuff. Once you've played 1,000 games of Hearthstone, you still like Hearthstone. You don't need, you're not, the novelty's worn off. It's not something that you need anymore, someone who plays that frequently.
So would you like to see them fork sort of the development of the app from, you got your mobile versions, which continue to exist in the way they are, then you have the desktop versions, which give you access to, you know, tournament mode. You can still play tournament games on your devices, any device, but organizing a tournament, managing a tournament, is all done from the desktop, which, you know, most people who manage tournaments do it from their desktop anyway, so it wouldn't be crazy to sort of limit the sort of pro features to the desktop.
Sure. Well, in Diablo, we had elective mode. So, like, you were limited to certain buttons on certain abilities on certain buttons. And if you found the checkbox that said turn off or turn on elective mode, then you could put any ability in any slot for advanced players. Hearthstone, I've always said you could do this on the right or left-hand side, because you don't need to see it on mobile, so hide it, you know, somewhere, a little tab. You nailed it. Turn on professional mode or whatever. Pro mode. I like it.
Enter pro mode.
And then all of a sudden, all these buttons appear, and there's tournaments, and there's all kinds of cool stuff, and that's great. And so mom can play and doesn't have to look at all that crap and say, I don't want to play.
Or Ryan, for that matter. I probably will not go into pro mode, because I'm terrible, and I don't need extra buttons.
Anyways, that's what would be that's the tinfoil hat theory. I'd love to hear it. Possible, not likely, but possible.
Yeah. BlizzCon's the place to do it. I think doing it anywhere else would be a real shame. Content announcements, sure. PAX, that's fine. Some stream in the middle of summer, sure. But at BlizzCon, I think that's where you're talking to the fans that paid hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to be there in person to hear you talk. Someone in the chat, Daniel's saying Ryan is the Hearthstone mom confirmed. Yes, I am a Hearthstone mom. I'm terrible at Hearthstone, but that's not to say all moms are terrible at Hearthstone. It's just me, and probably my mom, terrible at Hearthstone. Let's close out the show with Overwatch. I think this is going to be a big year for Overwatch because even though we've kind of been pretty flippant with the content we think they're going to announce there, but this is the first year, the first BlizzCon where Overwatch has been out. And I think that's been a big deal for every game we've mentioned. You know, the BlizzCon after that game comes out, especially the games like Heroes, like Hearthstone, this is a big moment for Overwatch to kind of announce some really cool stuff. Me personally, I want to see more PvE content. I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe they won't give it to us. Maybe they just, they're not interested. But then we got completely unprovoked the Revenge of Dr. Junkenstein, which is basically Horde mode. And, you know, it feels shoehorned in, but they're getting closer to something that would feel like legitimate PvE content that people could experience as a story or something. It's not like Lucio Ball, where it felt completely like, let's make this fit this square piece into a circle hole.
It didn't feel good to play. Once the novelty wore off, I'm like, this is bad Rocket League.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that's where Revenge of Dr. Junkenstein kind of felt a little better, where it didn't quite feel like they were trying to cram a piece in that didn't fit. It felt very close, like they were getting there. And I would love to see, you know, not just another cinematic, not just another comic, another character, another map, but something that takes the wonderful cinematics that they're making and put it in the game. Put it in the game, guys. You've got these great maps. Battlefield does this really well, actually. The recent launch of Battlefield 1, where they have all these great maps that you can play on in multiplayer across many modes. But then I'd say probably 3/4 of the campaign content is those maps sort of extrapolated and populated in a way that makes it seem like this is campaign built content. But if you've played enough of the multiplayer maps, you know, like, oh, this is literally this map, except a little bit, you know, placed differently. And it doesn't feel wrong or bad. It feels cool because you're playing scenarios in these maps that you know and love. And I think it would be fantastic to get, you know, the story behind some of those maps through PvE content by moving some pieces here and there, you know. That's what I'm hoping for, and I think this is the year we get it. Otherwise, I think an announcement of, hey, we're going to do a Christmas event. It's like, duh. How much money are you making off of these loot boxes? Of course you're going to do a Christmas event. Of course you're going to announce a new hero, a new map. What, like, that's sort of been the theme of the show, is basically like, okay, we know what you've done for us lately, but what are you going to do for us now?
Yeah, well, we're customers. We want to keep shoveling money their way, so let's tell them how they, what we'd like in return. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's true. And I feel like I sent them a pretty strong note when I didn't buy any Halloween loot boxes after buying quite a few summer boxes and being severely disappointed.
It's funny. I have so many, for someone who really loves and spends a lot of time Blizzard games, I have so many trigger words when it comes to this stuff. Loot boxes make me so mad. I don't think I've bought any. And I'm someone who opened actually a lot of legendaries in beta and lost them all. Not that that's a big deal, but I'm just like, why would I pay for this? Like I get getting vanity items, right? Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of, you know, let me buy this skin. I like Genji. Why do I got to play some dumb game with the money? Why do I got to do that? This isn't Hearthstone. Hearthstone gets away with it because of its traditions and collectible card game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people with a lot of muscle memory about how that works. I kind of still think it's across like 5 cards in a pack. Anyways, not going there. But in Overwatch, it sucks. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't want to see Overwatch just be, here's new PvP maps, and then here's new loot boxes seasonally. Two, 3 years down the line, like it's, I know a few people who have like literally, oh my God, Halloween's here. Got to get all the skins, blow $60 on the loot boxes, get the skins, and the impulse to buy is over. And maybe they're not even playing it. The Halloween Brawl lasted a few days and it's all over. You spent that's a full box that you just gave to this company and you just rationalize it by saying it's worth it. I'm here to tell you, even if it's Blizzard quality, it's not worth it. because they could be giving us Diablo 4 and we could be paying $70 for that. Instead, you're giving them, they're like, well, why don't we just make this crap? Sorry, like I hate that stuff. And you know what, if you want to do it, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that this better not be what we're hearing. I'm with you. I want PvE content. The game I think of most when I think of Overwatch is Borderlands 2. I loved Borderlands 2 so much. That was a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. And similarly, the characters in Overwatch have that kind of personality. And I feel like I was really invested in my character in Borderlands 2. I played the Siren, and I did all the Siren things, and I knew all the Siren tactics, and I loved it. And my friend, you know Crofton.
Yeah.
I don't have to say my friend, Crofton, from Good, Bad, or Bullshit. Hmm. He played the Gunzerker, and his big ability was stick his middle fingers up. And he just, you know, as you know, that matches Crofton's personality a bit. Yeah. And so I'm with you in that Overwatch has great characters and great narrative. And it seems almost like there's too much narrative for what it is, which is literally, oh, here's a car, push it down here and shoot each other.
Yeah,
I'm like, really? You know, you can't make a nice trailer for Diablo instead? Anyway.
The story isn't even used as an excuse for what you're doing in the maps. The story facilitates why the maps are there, because that's the type of content they build. But they haven't built content, very strong content, to tell you why you're delivering a payload. I know that content exists, but it's a paragraph of flavor text on a website, not even in game. And this is a comment that we say a lot on this show when it comes to Overwatch. Both Joss and I are big fans of Overwatch. And on the topic of Halloween skins, Heroes of the Storm had their Halloween skins. It was a bundle. You could buy it. It was $20 for me because I had both Vala and Zul. I bought it. Set and scene. I love both those characters. Both skins look great. And I was able to enjoy them for the price of just, you know, I don't put a lot of money into Heroes, so when I give them $20, it's kind of like a big deal. And with Overwatch, it's like, yeah, of course I would love the Mercy skin, the Reaper skin, a lot of those skins to enjoy during Halloween, but I'm not falling for the loot box trick again. I did that. I will admit on the show, because I've admitted it before, it was like $80 of American dollars. So for us Canadians, that's, I don't even want to plug it in. That's a lot of money. And I got some of the stuff I wanted, but not all the stuff. And I convinced myself that I didn't need to buy more by saying, okay, I got enough of what I'd like. But I didn't get everything I wanted. But when you look at Heroes, they put out two really great skins and a bonus mount for $20. I was able to play them, and I can continue to play them for as long as I want. And I think they fit. And as Jimmy is saying, they almost got me during Extra Life. That was me being tired and weak. That has nothing to do with me. Jimmy did talk me out of it. And you make a good point. Like, I have no qualms with people who want to buy loot boxes. I think that's great. Even if they are, you know, half saying it's to support a game I love and half saying it's to get the skin I want. I think that's all fine.
It's a predatory sale. Like, gamers, I think, are too forgiving about the random stuff. It's way too accepted.
Especially when it comes to Blizzard, you know.
And it has to do with shame. All this stuff, basically, we all do it. You know, I've spent $180 on Hearthstone packs when it first launched, $180 on Hearthstone packs, right? And a lot of people don't want to admit they do things like that, or don't want to be completely honest, unless you're like hardcore into it. Like, I mean, that felt like nothing because, you know, when a new expansion for Magic dropped, that was an easy $220 and two boxes. Like, boom, like done, sale made. Back when I was playing. Because that's just the cost of membership. If you play golf, you buy your golf clubs. If you play Magic, you buy your boxes.
Right.
But there is still a sense of shame. Like, I think my total running total is 400 to 500 in Heroes. People don't like talking. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, it's shameful. It's like, no, we're human and we want these things and they make the stuff awesome. Mm-hmm. But it's just not value. And this is important for the future of Overwatch. If this is just like a loot, money-generating PvP thing, like, yeah, maybe it's a good game. I just think it really throws shade on what Overwatch is. And I realize they need to make revenue, but Heroes does it, and I'm happy to spend, like you said, I want the Super Sony skin. I got the Super Sony skin. I move on with my life.
Yeah. If it's $10, so what? You use it for probably, that's what you're going to use going forward. Like Sylvanas, I bought her Christmas skin. As soon as the holidays roll around, I am rolling around with Sylvanas' Christmas skin. And I just really like the way Heroes does it. And I know Overwatch made a concession by saying, okay, we'll let you buy these skins for an absorbent amount of gold coins. But it was still, like, these skins aren't above and beyond the skins that you're already selling for gold. Why are they suddenly worth three times as much? It's just...
It's Blizzard has so much goodwill from its client base that it's going to take a long time for it to erode. But if it continues this way, like, I'm already, like, I think it's, like, sorry, I love Overwatch. Great game. I think loot box is stupid. I think you could have done much better than that, but...
Yeah,
it's just one guy's opinion. So.
No, I know. And you know what? I do need to say, like, Jim, big fan of the show, who helped a lot with Extra Life and has been around for quite some time, has always been very critical of Blizzard and saying that, you know, they get a lot of leeway and forgiveness from their fans. And there's a lot of those fans within this community. And, man, I hope you guys are fans of Blizzard, because you probably hated this episode. It's all we've talked about. But they are a big company, and they do some really great stuff. And some of their most, if not all, of their games are great. All their games are great. I'm comfortable saying that. But like Jim says, like, some of the stuff they do kind of sucks. And Overwatch is a great example. Hearthstone, I think I can't pass judgment on that because I don't play it enough, but I know for some people, like, if that's, I can say this, like, if you're a Call of Duty fan and that's all you play is Call of Duty, I'm sure people would love for Call of Duty to just be like, yeah, we're just gonna make one Call of Duty and we're gonna sell you a bunch of skins. Actually, right. No, probably most people would hate that, but I don't know.
The issue here, again, I know you want to express your idea, so I kind of interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know what idea it was. Like, it's basically like Blizzard.
The issue is it's industry-wide. It's not just Blizzard. No, I mean, no. It almost is like Blizzard's stupid for not being a part of it, according to the rest of the game industry, if they decide to stay out, because literally everyone's trying to do it to us.
Yeah.
And if they stopped making money, they wouldn't, except humans are only so powerful. We're pretty powerless in some more than we want to admit to ourselves. And we're Canadians. We like our federal intervention. I'm already starting to think of, you know, we need to have a regulatory department for video games here to govern the behavior of some of these corporate entities so that passionate gamers are not preyed upon because we'll hide it, because it's easily hidden. And because you'll do things like on your mobile phone, make a $30 purchase in Hearthstone half asleep because you don't have your faculties about you. And this is a new thing we're grappling with when it comes to cell phones. So, you know, if we're too powerless to stop ourselves from doing it because the content's too awesome and the companies are too powerless to resist the call of money, then, you know, it's what we need the public service for, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, now this conversation became a wet blanket.
Well, the thing, like, to conclude our conversation on BlizzCon predictions,
regulatory department at the federal government in the United States to govern Blizzard.
I honestly think that the best way going forward with any of the content we've discussed, if you're not a fan of it, the best thing you can do is just to not support it. And you can play Overwatch, and Jim the Shovel in the chat room and Bo are both saying the same thing to me, in that if you don't like what they're doing, don't support it. Don't give in. You do not need that Mercy skin. It looks great, but if you ever want to remind yourself of how great it looks, just go into the Hero Gallery and take a look at it and be like, oh, that does look great, and then move on. You don't need to own that skin to make the game better, because honestly, it's optional. And it's the same thing with Heroes. But I think, like, I only support Heroes when I feel like it is a good value. And I thought, those are two really great skins. I'm going to pick it up. $20, like, it's a good deal. And same thing with StarCraft DLC. I thought, man, we're going to get more campaign content. I will support that idea. I will pre-purchase before even the first pack comes out, because I want more StarCraft content. Vote with your wallet. It's the best thing you can do. Speaking of voting with your wallet, let's vote for a great charity, which is Extra Life. Last weekend, we raised $2,500. We played video games for 24 hours. It's hard to believe that it happened. I've sort of, like, blacked out after. We did 24 hours. We streamed for about 20 hours, well into the wee hours of the evening. So we raised $2,500. We're still going strong, though. Our goal was $3,000. You can go to bit.ly/TGI2016, all caps. Pick a team member. If you didn't get a chance to donate, make sure you pick a team member. We had some folks that were hitting just the donate button. It is a confusing website setup. Not our fault, but click on a team member you want to donate to and go through the motions. It supports a great cause. But we're not just going to, you know, ignore Extra Life proper, because Extra Life takes place on November 5th. The reason we did it earlier was because of BlizzCon, as we've been talking about. So James and I, unfortunately, not able to go to BlizzCon. So we are going to be streaming Blizzard games, all of them, in fact, starting Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, going from World of Warcraft all the way to Overwatch, little heroes in there, some StarCraft Allied Commanders. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can catch all the fun. Twitch.tv/Iagovos, IYAGOVOS. We'll have a link in the chat room and we'll be tweeting about it. So check it out. All in the hopes of raising our goal of 3,000 and hitting that mark. We're so close. Bo, thank you so much for joining me once again for what is now, I think we can say, a yearly event, unless you go to BlizzCon, in which I'll have to find someone else. But
well, you know, the idea is that one of these years I better go. So the plan is to go. But, you know, if I don't end up going, and was there a chance you could possibly go maybe next year?
I don't know. For me, I think when it comes to BlizzCon, I don't know. It seems so far away and so expensive. And even the ticket to get into the event is like cost prohibitive for me. But I guess the idea, like, someone did
mess with me. It was for me too. That's why I didn't go.
Yeah, so it's cost prohibitive. It's a lot of money. Brother. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, even, yeah. But no, I would love to go at some point. And I had someone ask me, hey, are we going to get you out one year? And I'm like, probably. I'm not going to say no. I'll never say never. And I love Blizzard games and I would love to go to a BlizzCon. But cost prohibitive, also the fact that there's a billion people there, not necessarily my thing, but you know what, I will try anything once, and hey, a billion people, I have not tried that yet. So
maybe they're just waiting for you to show up for the big reveal. They're like, they've got, you know, their Diablo stuff, and they're like, Bo and Ryan aren't here. Yeah, I think we pull it, show them some Overwatch crap. Yeah, we'll save the good stuff for when they finally get here.
Roll the sizzle reel. It's our 10th BlizzCon, but who cares? Like, let's just, you know, continue. All right, well, let's wrap this up. Bo, where can the fine folks find you on the interwebs?
Follow me at Bo Schwartz for probably Heroes-related tweets or just random crap. You can find stuff that I do, the shows that I do, Core. It's a Heroes of the Storm show. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be about Heroes of the Storm, but we often play this little game called Nexeperity, and we talk, you know, about farts. And so, you know, if that sounds enticing, heroesforyou.com or frogpants.com/core. It's great to have two URLs. And if you want to hear me and even Ryan, who recently, if you want to hear Ryan talk about cosmetics, chat room, I'm waiting for the reaction. I know you do. We have a special episode where we invited Ryan to discuss a random topic with us on Good, Bad, or Bullshit at goodbadbull.com. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you were great.
Thank you.
So the random topic that came out, it's not a spoiler because it's a show title, it's cosmetics for, you know, grown men talking about lipstick. It's fantastic. And it's like an hour long. You'll love it. goodbadbull.com.
Yeah. That is such a fun podcast. Everyone needs to check that out. I had a lot of fun, and I have a lot of fun listening each week. There's even an episode where Scott Johnson comes on and talks about conspiracy theories, which, I mean, if you know Scott Johnson, you know that's going to be a good time. So,
oh, he loved it. He almost thought he had a conspiracy theory that we actually just picked it for him. And I was like, no, Mike's in control of it, and Mike doesn't really listen to Scott's show, so he has no idea.
So not only did you say, no, we didn't pander to you, but also one of our co-hosts doesn't know who you are. So, like, don't worry.
He knows who he is, but mainly because of me. He listens to the CBC.
Oh, he's one of those, like, high-class podcasters. Because I'm always like, hey, I listened
to Scott Johnson's instance, and it was like this, and he's like, I don't care, I listen to the CBC. And in all in a day, they did a thing on wine tasting. And I'd be like, ugh. So,
that's so...
There's so much great audio content out there. I think it's great that we have diverse tastes, actually.
Yes, no, it's very good. Thank you again for joining me. I will be tuning into BlizzCon at some point over the weekend. I hope you do too. Don't let this weird tinfoil infused episode spoil it for you. I'm sure a lot of the stuff we said isn't actually going to happen. But you can go to gamersinpodcast.com and find all of our great content there. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Chicken, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Nerd. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at JossPlays. Follow her BlizzCon adventures there. Myself at RMurphy, Bo at Bo Schwartz, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. And finally, email your thoughts about BlizzCon, or email us how wrong we were after BlizzCon to info@gamersinpodcast.com. Looking forward to hearing it. Bo, thank you again.
Thank you. I have one more thing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
One of these days you have to get me on when Jocelyn's on. I always feel so bad because she's never here.
And well, we will. You know what? Let's do this again. Let's do something. We'll figure something out. We'll pick some event and we'll bring you on. And it's funny, like we have had guests on before where all of us are here. We don't just pull guests in to sort of fill the co-host chair. So you're right. We will look to have you back on when Joss is.
I have prior experience. Joss and I were on Current Geek together.
That's
so
true.
You know,
that's because
Be like, will there be chemistry? Is it going to work out? Is it an okay show? It'll go fine.
I think it'll be fine.
It'd probably be way more dirty.
Probably.
Because I keep trying to put farts into the conversation. And Ryan's like, well, that's interesting, Bo. Anyway,
shut it down. Yeah. It's like, there's no time for lollygagging. We're just going to talk about why a fish and a weird card in person is going to fight in the Nexus. So, I don't know. But yes, we will do that. And we will talk about farts and all the inappropriate content.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor, as always. Honor, O-U-R, because I'm Canadian.
Oh, yes. And I understand you, because I am also Canadian. We'll insert yous into a bunch of stuff after this, but thank you for listening, and that sounded weird, but thanks again, everybody. Enjoy BlizzCon, have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye
bye.